It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Earlier this month, Governor Tony Evers announced that he will opt Wisconsin out of a new federal program that offers tax credits to people who donate money for some K-12 school scholarships. The program would give up to $1,700 in tax credits for donations to organizations that grant scholarships to children at public, private, or charter schools. Evers told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the program could be catastrophic for public schools. Earlier this month, the entire Wisconsin Republican congressional delegation signed a letter urging the governor to reverse that decision. The U.S. Treasury Department has to draft rules for the program before it kicks in 2027. With details still unclear, public school and school choice advocates are debating the merits of the program. Today, we get two perspectives in Wisconsin. Jim Bender starts us off, executive director of Wisconsin Independent Charter School Advocates. Jim, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
All right. We just heard some of the basics of this program, some rules still yet to be set by the Treasury Department. But Wisconsin has this unique history when it comes to vouchers and charter schools. How do you see this playing out here in the state in particular?
Not just playing out here in the state, but I think in most states, it will literally have nothing to do with charters and vouchers specifically. This is focused on kids. So why do I say that? This is a program, as was noted, it's coming out of the Treasury. It's tax policy. It's not really education policy. And so you're going to have systems whereby, whether it be tutoring or transportation or special assessments, whatever it might be, it's applicable to public school, charter school, or private school. So it really isn't sector specific in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's its benefit, is because it's applicable to anybody that wants to be part of a scholarship granting organization. Now, Wisconsin does not have very many of those. We are not a state that's had that policy. If you look at a state like Florida that's had that tax credit policy, they are flourishing and have multiple. Wisconsin does not, because our current systems are all state funded. So whether you're looking at the parental choice program or independent charter schools, those are state funded programs. This is federal.
Critics have said, hang on, yeah, that's how it's being sold, but they're calling it kind of a backdoor to have a federally funded national school voucher program. In reality, they say this money is really going to go to those private schools or charter schools, not so much to the public schools. What do you say to that?
Well, in Wisconsin, we have an existing program that provides a state-funded voucher to go to a private school. Mm-hmm. Having worked with the accounting mechanisms around that system, this particular add-on may not be applicable to most schools. When you are talking about other revenue coming into private schools, the way that it's audited, there may not be an advantage to a private school to do this. You know, I think the origins of the bill a few years ago was looking at a way to provide options for parents in states that either didn't have any sort of private parental choice program, or their state constitution prohibited state dollars from going to a private school. This was, I believe, in its origins, was a way to get some options to parents. In its current iteration, however, the amount of money that's going to be going into this and the amount of resources that'll be available, really tough to fund any sort of a voucher program where you talk about covering full tuition or doing things like that. The money just won't be there, but it will be there, I think, for much more of these targeted programs that SGOs can function. And again, that would be cross-sector.
So what would your hope be for this? When we see these Treasury Department rules, and if the current governor had a change of heart or a future governor signed on to this, what would be the ideal way you'd see this play out here in Wisconsin with this federal policy?
Well, I think obviously you'd want to see the creation of SGOs that would be able to target whatever it might be.
Again, and these are these
scholarship granting organizations that would come in, and you'd be able to do, say, if you had a music program where you had, we're sitting in Madison, so you have, you know, the Overture Center, and you have all these amazing artists coming through here. If somebody developed a program whereby they had a workshop, so when those musicians came through, music students in Madison could come and attend some of those things and have private workshops. You could offset some of the equipment, some of the materials around that. Wouldn't matter if you were in a private school, a charter school, a public school, those kids would all be there. Those are the types of things that you'd love to see get started. There's also a lot of things I know in other states that are getting started around students with special needs, that you can do other wraparound services, other tutoring services. I think all of those things, that's kind of the beauty of it, is that it's really not education policy, it's tax policy. So there's a lot of freedom that you could take it in a multitude of different directions.
the students with special needs. This is part of a wider argument about money going to public schools versus voucher schools. Voucher school and private school critics say, well, wait a minute, they don't necessarily have to have plans for special education students. They can reject them and say, no, they have to go to the public school. And this is federal money now going to those schools, the argument goes, so they will ultimately discriminate against students with special needs. What do you say to that concern?
This is an old canard that was a result of the 1970s, because you got to remember how we got here. The public school system lost a number of key court cases that showed how discriminatory they were being towards students with special needs, thus the creation of IDEA. And when you created IDEA, at the time, the unions were at the table and said, we want all of the power and all of the money. And they got it. But the flip side was, because private schools didn't get any of the resources directly, they also didn't carry the legal burden to do it. But just because the legal burden isn't there doesn't mean that doesn't happen. Here in the state, we've got a flourishing special needs scholarship program where private schools are serving students with special needs, even without those additional dollars. Many private schools are doing that. But there is a legal difference between the two. They're free and appropriate education for independent charter schools and public schools. It's a legal obligation for sure. That legal obligation does not extend to private schools. But that's by design, because that's not the way that the money or the resources flow. But there should be no penalty for students and families that choose something other than a public school or a charter school in order to find the right solution for their child. And this is just another example of where, except for some in the education establishment, the opportunity to have other options for students is a good one. It's supported. When you look at Democrats for Education Reform, that did a national poll about this, they came back and found that 64% of people supported this type of opportunity scholarship, this time of SGO. City Forward Collective just got out of the field with a poll where they did Democrat primary voters. How do they view the opportunity for our governor to sign up for this to give all students opportunities? 72% of Democrat primary voters in Milwaukee supported the governor signing us up for this program.
As you mentioned, the governor, or as I've mentioned, the governor isn't signing up for this. This is voluntary. States can opt in or out. A lot of states led by Democratic governors are kind of wait and see on this. Governor Evers got out ahead of a lot of them and said, as of now, no. If you had a seat at the table with Governor Evers, what would you say to him to make the case that he should flip that decision?
I think the first thing is we need to wait for the rules from Treasury, because getting the details of exactly how it's going to be implemented is clearly important. And to your point, I think that's exactly what many Democrat governors have said is, okay, we know what the original bill passed. It was 2 pages of 10,000. There's going to be more detail in there. So I think that's the first thing. And the second thing is talk to the business community, talk to educators, talk to families, and let's explore where Wisconsin can be a leader in developing creative SGOs and creative programs that help all kids, especially those in public school. I mean, that's the beauty of this, is that the Democrats for Education Reform, besides the poll they did some research on what happens if you take these different states and you start breaking down tax filers. And if 10% of these tax filers that could do $1,700, what could you get? You get to $15 million really quickly if 10% of taxpayers said, this is something I want to do. Okay. If 20%, all of a sudden you get to, 30, 40, 50 million, you get to $100 million spread across this state that could be innovative in the way that we apply it. And again, there's no restriction on private versus charter versus public. Wisconsin's been a leader in a lot of different education areas. This is no exception. The leadership of the governor could actually be very helpful here to say, hey, bring forward proposals. Let me see what people are interested in doing. Let the private sector, let the education folks that are out there, let everybody chime in and say, hey, what can we come up with? Because there's going to be very few restrictions on how this can be applied. Let's take advantage of that. Let's not just react to a talking point on who might be eligible or who might not be. At this point, it's going to be wide open. Let's take advantage of it.
Jim, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jim Bender is executive director of Wisconsin Independent Charter School Advocates. We talked to him about a new federal program that would offer tax credits for donations to organizations that give scholarships to students at public or private and charter schools. Governor Evers has decided to opt Wisconsin out of that federal program. Now to hear from the public school side of the argument, Heather Dubois-Bornan is executive director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Heather, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, from what we've been hearing, it sounds like this money, these donations, balanced out by federal tax credits, could have benefits for public and private schools in Wisconsin. What are your concerns about this program as we understand it so far, still rules pending?
Well, as ever with voucher scams and schemes that we've seen here in Wisconsin and in many other states, the devil is in the details. And this is a policy move that we have very little detail for. And so what we do have is a preponderance of caution and warnings from those who follow voucher malfeasance in all of the states to beware of a Trojan horse that is promising states flexibility and benefits, but which is likely to deliver very few of those to public schools and much dollars to private schools.
And Governor Evers is one of the few governors who said no, not even waiting for the rules yet. What do you think about the idea of a lot of Democratic governors have said, well, let's wait and see. Let's look at those rules first before making a decision.
We've been down this path in Wisconsin, and Governor Evers knows as well as any governor in the nation that these dollars come with strings. They come with strings that hurt public schools and that hurt local taxpayers. And so if we want to continue down a path where we are going to just continue giving tax breaks and giveaways to those who are relatively wealthy and can likely already afford to send their children to private schools, and that's why they can afford to donate $1,700 apiece to a scholarship fund, we're going to see our public schools paying the price. And we're already seeing that in Wisconsin, where we have to vote time and again to raise taxes on ourselves to cover the cost of our public schools because the state isn't meeting its constitutional obligation to make sure that our public schools have what they need. And a great part of that is because we have this Vouchers Gone Wild program already in the state, in addition to tax credits, which folks already can take if they send their kids to a private school. And it just doesn't add up.
With the idea that this would be used for wealthy people, as I understand the outline of this plan as passed by Congress, the scholarships could go only to people at or below 300% of the local poverty line. So the idea is these scholarships wouldn't be going to the wealthier people.
Again, we don't really know where they're going to go. What we do know is what their blueprint looks like. And what it looks like is a Project 2025 checklist on which this is one of the items. We know that the long-term agenda is a voucher in every backpack. We know that here in Wisconsin, they have tried again and again to remove those income restrictions from voucher programs, and we can anticipate that they will try to make a similar move at the federal level just as soon as that program gets passed. And so if we're not going to learn from the lessons that we've already seen here in Wisconsin, let's look at Arizona or Florida, places where these kind of similar programs have already been implemented at the state level and are doing absolutely catastrophic damage to local public schools, which are closing at lightning speed, which are under-resourced, which are forced to consolidate and share services. And we just need to focus our attention on the things that these proposals are trying to distract us from, specifically the fact that the state and the federal government are not doing right by public school kids and are not meeting the obligations that the law currently requires them to fill.
The argument from supporters of vouchers from the get-go and private schools has been, well, the public schools aren't doing the job we wanted them to. Why not give parents flexibility or choice or options to those public schools?
That's categorically untrue. We know that our public schools, when resourced adequately, outperform private schools across the board. Study after study has shown this in states that have had voucher programs. Voucher schools do not outperform public schools, period. End of sentence. It's just a simple fact. All of the data shows this. At best, they compare similarly when all factors are accounted for. But the fact of the matter is, only public schools protect the rights of students to learn and thrive in safe and welcoming environments. Only public schools have to meet the needs of students with disabilities. Only public schools have to hire licensed teachers. Only public schools follow laws that protect and provide for the needs of students with disabilities, students who are English language learners, and only public schools protect students from discrimination. And so when we choose to put public funds into systems that do not have to follow these very basic sets of standards, we are investing not in providing educational opportunities for kids, but we are investing in literally widening the gaps that we already have. And so we have seen this in Wisconsin, and we have seen this in every other state in the nation that has opted into voucher programs at the state level. And so I think states are wising up and saying enough is enough. Furthermore, scams like this are just a way of forcing a federal program into states where voters have rejected these measures at the ballot box and beyond, and where states have resisted so far the powerful voucher lobby that, against the wishes of the people in red and blue states, has forced these unpopular policies into our classrooms and our communities. It is disruptive and divisive, and simply there's no public clamoring for it. You know, the only people who are really supporting these proposals are a handful of voucher lobbyists and, folks who are backing policy proposals that are really out of alignment with the needs of our kids and communities, like the authors of Project 2025.
Obviously, with federal policy in a Republican-controlled Congress and the White House as it is, this is the direction they're moving in. What would you want to see from the federal government when it comes to investment in education?
Well, first of all, we need to restore our investments in the Department of Education. We need to rehire immediately, post-haste, all of the members of the Office of Civil Rights who have been fired and displaced, the Department of Education staff that service students with disabilities who were just let go in a massive layoff last week. And we need to follow the money and the policy measures back to these points of crisis, because these are the things that are really going to have a long-term negative effect on our public schools. And if we don't restore a little bit of sanity and good sense into how we're using our public resources to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all of our kids in all of our communities, we're going to see our gaps get wider very, very quickly, especially when we layer proposals like this on top of them, which are undoubtedly only going to benefit a very small portion of students.
And at the state level, what kind of changes would you like to see?
Well, at the state level, I'd like to see the state meet its constitutional charge to adequately fund its public schools. I mean, we haven't seen a state budget that kept pace with inflation in a full 18 years as of next year. Meanwhile, the caps are coming off our statewide voucher program in 2026, and there's no plan to address this fiscal crisis. We're forced to pay for it at the ballot box if we can get referenda to pass in our own home districts. And we see, as some districts can and some districts can't, the gaps get wider between have and have nots across the state. And this has led to a crisis situation. And who are the kids who get hurt most in this? Students of color, students who are English language learners, students who have disabilities, students in poverty are all disproportionately impacted by these things. And so this is an actual civil rights crisis. And the fact that this administration at the federal level is further layering attacks on the very protections that serve these students in particular should raise a red flag on voucher programs at every level for everyone.
Heather, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That's Heather Dubois-Bornan, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Earlier, we heard from Jim Bender, Executive Director of Wisconsin Independent Charter School Advocates. We talked with each of them about a new federal program that would offer tax credits for donations to organizations that provide scholarships to students at public or private and charter schools. As of now, Governor Evers has decided to opt Wisconsin out of that program. A pair of Milwaukee youth mentors and entrepreneurs create a space to bring the community together.
We thought, hey, what could we do to kind of like involve folks and kind of give them the resources that they need, let them know where different things are, and build their social capital.
The vision behind Bronzeville Way Healing and Safe Space, that's next on WPR News.